I'll probably just do what I normally do and fly by the seat of my pants.
I'm the same. I usually go by the seat of my pants too. I
Sometimes the
know.
best way to go. At or in Sin's case, no pants.
Yes.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 71 of the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. We bring on different guests and communities to learn about them, their experiences in Destiny, and discuss other topics. Your hosts, as always, this week are Kingsley Max and Des Raven. How's everyone doing?
Hey, I am well. I am semi-rested today, but I am alive and here. Des, how are you?
Breathing. Sort of
breathing
in a funk,
is good.
But, you know, yeah.
Hey.
That's not, you know, so make it along, though. Make it along.
We appreciate the guests, get the guests that are breathing. So, I mean, the hosts that are breathing and the guests that are breathing.
Both good things.
Both are good. Speaking of a guest, we have a lovely guest tonight. Patty Cakes. A great,
hey,
how you doing? A great streamer. Twitch, puts out YouTube videos, loves PvP, and yeah, we're excited to have you on tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to you guys.
I mean, like, guess let's just start. I didn't do too much research, but where did you come up with your fun name of Patty Cakes? We were talking a little bit before the show, but
so in Destiny 1, actually, I had a different name. I went by Blues Fan Pat because I grew up in the St. Louis area and I love the Blues hockey team, and I just decided I wanted something different sometime in between Destiny 1 and 2. And so I was looking around on Google for something, and I came across this little cute pancake image. And I was like, this thing's awesome. And so my name's Patrick for my first name. And so I just kind of mushed the two together and ended up with Patty Cakes. It was funny. I actually didn't even realize that Cami Cakes existed at the time, but we've actually become friends since then. So it's kind of funny to have. He refers to me as his son now. So,
oh, there you go.
That's awesome.
Cakes, Patty Cakes, and yeah, I mean, let's see if we can get the trend going. Some other ones.
Yeah, we need some more cakes. So, someone step up.
Yeah,
bakery clean.
And that is a nice logo. I've seen the logo. It's a cute, you know, some pancakes with the eyes on the top. Very, very distinctive. So it's
I owe my brother for that one. The original art was on, you know, someone else owned, and so I wanted to kind of create my own version of it. And my brother, he actually creates games and is kind of, he's a developer, but he makes like games on Steam and stuff for his side job. And so he does, you know, pixel art with graphic design. And so he made the original version of the Patty Cakes logo, and then which I absolutely loved, and it's been a hit. And so then I ended up working with a different artist to kind of make a bigger version that scaled better, because pixel art's kind of it looks really good at the size that it's intended for, but when you try to make it really big, it looks kind of ridiculous. So now we have a few different versions of the Patty Cakes.
Oh yeah, I know. I mean, I kind of know. My wife's a graphic designer. I just tell her do all the stuff. I can't figure it out myself. You know, you know, you try to get something larger and it gets all pixelated. You're like, man, why is technology being annoying?
Tough.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we excited to have you on tonight. We got introduced to you by a member in our Discord, Mr. Nolsey, and shout out to him. He was actually on our last episode that just got released recently, but he suggested that we have you on the show. So we're very happy to have you on, because I need to learn more about PvP myself. I'm a pleb. I don't play it much. I have spent too much time doing raids or whatever, but I have a lot of exciting questions to ask you tonight. Well, hopefully they may be boring to you, but
yeah, awesome. I love talking PvP.
Yes.
My favorite thing in Destiny to talk about, I would say.
Yeah, but let's get to know you a little bit more first. We don't have to talk like all shop like Destiny, but like, I don't know. I mean, okay, so you like playing Destiny, but let's just, do you have any other fun stories of growing up and how you got started into video games?
Yeah, so I guess I'm probably in the boomer category of being a little on the slightly older side of the Destiny world. I grew up playing mostly like GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, some of the games on, you know, the older consoles. I got into Halo a little bit, probably around the same time I got into Counter-Strike on PC. So I was playing Counter-Strike on the PC and then Halo with, you know, Halo 1 with friends in person on the Xbox. And I just fell in love with it. It was like my biggest passion. I played guitar as well as kind of a fun thing in high school, but I loved gaming. And my favorite times were when we would set up those 16-man LAN parties, my parents' basement, get all my friends from high school together and, you know, get some pizzas and soda and whatnot and just play for hours and hours and hours, capture the flag and all the good old Halo times. So that's, ever since then, I've been a little bit addicted to it. I think I love it.
Yeah, for sure. That is cool. So you have the experience with the LAN parties. I've only done that personally once myself, even though I had a lot of opportunities, but it's quite the experience of, I mean, I'm glad we have pure internet online gaming these days because we can play with so many more people in a very convenient way. But wasn't there something more about like, it was, you kind of had to like have people committed to all come in and you know, we're just going to sit down and game for a while and eat pizza.
It was fun. I the part of it I don't miss. I mean, I miss it nostalgically, but like lugging around those CRT TVs that weighed like 100 pounds and
yes,
break your back while you're trying to get them up and down stairs, and that was a nightmare. But I mean, you know, it's all part of it. It's good times.
Or you had to have like the one guy who knew all the networking really good to make sure that worked.
The one guy with the router.
That'd be me. Yeah,
or he'd like steal his parents' router so you could set up the LAN party.
Oh, man. Yeah, nice. That's cool. How did you find out about this lovely game Destiny? Like what first, is it just from playing Halo or what kind of got you into Destiny? Did you start at the beginning?
So actually, I used to play Halo with a bunch of different friends, kind of, I guess you'd say IRL friends on the internet. And I got to, I don't know, I got really into Bungie as a company, but I really didn't know much about Destiny until one of my friends kind of taught, you know, before the game came out, told me about it, and I started looking into it. I was like, oh my gosh, this looks like the greatest game ever. And it was quite a bit of time before it actually came out. And so then I, you know, followed the progression of it a little bit. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to play the beta. I was out of town during that, but I did play week one, you know, right when it came out on Xbox. And ever since then, I've just been super, super into it. It's one of my, I'd say probably one of my top favorite games I've ever played.
Yeah, it is mine. I mean, hence why we talk about it so much. Have you always, I think I know the answer to this, but you've gravitated more towards the PvP side of Destiny. How much would you say you play that for people that don't maybe watch your videos as often compared to like other content in the game?
So I do love every part of the game, except I'm not a huge Gambit fan. I struggle through it when I need to, but I love, you know, most parts of PvE and PvP. I tend to participate in all the world's first raids whenever that comes around. But I probably spend more of my time in PvP just because I find it a little bit more replayable. After I have beaten the raid and, you know, done it a few times, helped a few friends through it, I kind of like, I lose my fire to keep playing the same old raids, but with PvP, it's like every game's a little different, and so I kind of prefer the replayability part of the PvP side, but I do really like PvE, and even just a couple days ago on stream, I helped a people do Leviathan who had never done it before, and that was really fun, so I'm kind of getting back into PvE more the more I play over the summer.
That's great. Yeah, I saw actually a tweet that you put out recently about... let's see here. I had it pulled up. Oh, yeah. It came to my attention that many of my friends who are PvP gods have never stepped foot in several of the raids. If that's you, which ones have you not tried yet? Think about doing a raid teaching stream tomorrow. You know, of course, when this podcast comes out, that might be after that, but yeah. Still the point's valid. Yeah, that's pretty cool, though, that you wrote that.
Yeah, it's funny. I was hanging out, I guess it was one of my friend's streams. He was a very, very talented PvP player. And I found out that he had never done like I think it was Eater of Worlds and Spire, and I don't know if he had done Leviathan. There's a bunch of them that he hadn't done. And then I found out, you know, it's actually pretty common among a lot of my friends who are like really, really, really talented PvP players. So I love both parts of the game, so I figured I might be able to introduce them to some of the raids that they haven't stepped foot in yet.
Oh yeah, I get it. We see that. It makes sense. Like, I know people that have not raided or not raided much, and they're mostly in PvP, and then I'm on the other side of the spectrum where I mostly only raid and don't PvP much. You know, I've stepped into trials maybe 3 or 4 times total. And the thing that's I definitely noticed, though, is this is much props to the people that play PvP a lot. And you're right, you need to have that, which we'll talk about a little bit more too, but that algorithm in your head to know how to aim well and guess what people are going to do. It helps you become a good player on the PvE side too, because when I love Sherping raids and I'm sufficient enough to help Sherpa people, but I really notice when like these awesome PvP players that don't ever raid much, but they come in and they don't know the raid at all. And I can teach them it like once or twice and then they catch on and we get the raid done. Even if there's like 4 or 5 of them that are new to the raid, where normally it's like, I only want to bring in 1 or 2 new people, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, some of those PvP guys, I guess what I'm saying is like, yeah, it's easy to, they know how to stay alive and they know how to aim. I guess let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that to PvPers, like a lot of times they have really good just fundamentals. So like they know how to stay alive. They know how to aim well. They know how to like, you know, do a lot of damage just because they're doing it in PvP. So it's like, it's more of a knowledge gap of understanding the mechanics of various, you know, raids or strikes or dungeons or whatever you're doing. And once you kind of understand that, like, the rest of the fundamentals sort of transfer over pretty well.
Yeah, and that's why I always tell myself I should play more. I just get lazy. So I'm sure Sin wants to know this question. I'm putting words in your mouth, Sin, but now you play on PC, so what can you do to talk someone like Sin or me to the lesser extent, because I don't have too much to even care about, but like, why should we play? Because we play on PC and PS4. Why should we not be afraid to do PvP on PC?
Because it is definitely
brutal. You're like, or maybe you're like, no, run away.
Maybe you should be.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Honestly, I have a bunch of friends who came over, more specifically from Xbox, because that's kind of, I played both in D1, but I played more Xbox, so most of my friends are from that platform. And, you know, a number of them moved over to PC and they did struggle a little bit at first while they're kind of getting used to the faster pace of the game. I think PC tends to just, everything's just a little faster. People like aim a little quicker and, you know, they've got the high frames per second, really fast refresh rate monitor, stuff like that. So I think it's a little intimidating at first, but everyone who was a good player on the other consoles was able to translate it to PC once they got kind of used to it. So I think it's one of those things that just takes a little time to get comfortable.
Oh, so we must not be good players then, Sin, even on PS4, because we have a hard time playing. No, it's, I get what you're saying, though. Yeah, so the way I always describe it is, yes, I feel like there's definitely a higher skill ceiling on PC, and you tend to, I mean, the whole discussion now, too, which I want to bring up in a second about connection-based, but you'll match against high-skill players, I feel like, more often on PC, but even though I feel like I'm getting, you know, sniped more, killed more, whatever, I can also aim better myself personally on PC than I can on PS4. Even with, I play controller on both, but I can still do extremely better with controller on PC than I can on PS4. So at least I feel better about myself because I'm hitting more shots, even though I'm still losing matches.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common thing actually, because the, you know, the way that the controllers work with like aim assist and bullet magnetism and reticle stickiness and stuff, it actually works, you know, it feels really good on PC. A few of my friends play controller and they're like insanely good. They're scary because they don't miss snipes very often. So I think that it works really, really well, especially also with the higher frames per second. And if you have a high refresh rate monitor, like you can just kind of have a better feeling of what's going on in the game, I feel like. Whereas, like, I've gone back to console a couple times because I played thousands of hours, you know, Destiny 1, and it is kind of tough to go back because it feels like everything's, like, just slower pace, but not in, like, a helpful way to me. It's more like my guy won't move as fluidly as I want, and I feel like I'm not getting the information that I'm used to getting. And then also with the FOV changes, because I'm sure you're aware, but the FOV on PC can be quite a bit wider, so you can see a lot more of what's around you. Whereas on console, when you get that kind of more narrow FOV, you can kind of lose sense of like what's to your left and right.
Sure. Yeah. Even in the raids, you know, I noticed that a lot. Like I was playing Last Wish on PC and then shortly after that on PS4. And, you have to look for the symbols around the room. And I was just noticing having to like obviously turn my reticle a lot more way to the right and to the left to actually find the symbols. You know, it takes a little bit longer to mm-hmm. find stuff. But, you know, we don't have to get into all that right now. But I guess, you know, it's just you're saying that, I mean, you obviously play on PC. But, you know, there's a lot of people saltiness, people being scared of playing on PC. They think, like, it's not even worth going into Crucible at all. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I would disagree with that. I feel like it's a little different now with, like, the connection-based versus skill-based matchmaking and everything. I think the reality is that, like, if you assess kind of where you are as a player, the middle, you know, I don't know what the percentages are, the percentiles, but like, you know, most people are kind of somewhere in the middle, right? There's like, there are the top 1% and the bottom 1%, but like statistically, you're not going to play either of those categories all that often. So it's like, I think a lot of people fear, you know, playing like Frostbolt or Panda or whoever, like every game. And that's just like statistically not going to happen all that often. But it's like, I think it's a little bit of maybe a wake-up call to some people who are used to the skill-based matchmaking because they were only really forced to play against people who were at their own level. So maybe it's a little bit more challenging because they're kind of playing like the wider part of the population. But the good thing about that is it's a really good opportunity to improve. I think a lot of the players who are really good got that way because maybe they came from other games where you were thrown in, you know, the deep end against like some of the best players and, you have to like get comfortable really, really fast, and that makes you better at every game.
Sure. Yeah, I think there's definitely some validity to people have different incentives for getting better, and obviously the skill gap can't be so far. You're a beginning player matching against top 0.1%, and then you're just gonna like, never want to hop in again if it's like your first couple experiences. But yeah, there's a lot of incentive things. What in research that I've done, like, do you feel more incentive to get better if the person's playing to you is pretty much on your level or slightly above, or do you feel more incentive to get better if they're quite a bit better, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point because obviously if you're, you know, getting absolutely stomped, it's possible for people to be too far above you where it's just like not really constructive. But I think that for the most part, when you're playing people who are like maybe a few levels above you, but not like winning tournaments or something, that it can be helpful. So it's a matter of finding kind of the right level of challenge. It's funny, I'm like, I literally am making a video about this topic to some extent right now. I just was like editing it today. So you're like triggering all these thoughts in my brain that I was just editing for the last 4 days.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, and I agree with that too, because when I get on PC and I get stomped, it is definitely not constructive. I feel like I have a much better time on console when you have a little more evenly matched and I'm not playing against people that are crazy good with mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, so I'm curious about that. What do you feel like the difference is? Do you think it's mouse and keyboard, or do you think it's just like what you're more comfortable on, or what do you think the difference is?
I think, you can tell with movement. In a lot of cases, people with mouse and keyboard are whipping their characters around a little more so than if they're playing. You know, I know you can change your sensitivity on the controller, but with a mouse, you can basically whip your character right around. And when you're good with the way the movements are, you can basically skip around the map or skip around corners before the other person can see you. Or at least that's what it feels like when I'm playing against really good players on PC. Like they jump around the corner and all of a sudden, like as I'm turning, I can see them. It looks like they whip right around and get me with like a shotgun, or they just start blasting me with a different weapon. And yeah, I have no chance. So I think that's a little bit of a disadvantage, but I know it's probably a little more rare than I probably make it seem.
Yeah, the reason I asked, I'm just curious because I interact with, you know, tons and tons of players of all different input devices through your streams and YouTube comments and whatnot. And the universal thing that I have found is that controller players complain about mouse and keyboard players, and mouse and keyboard players complain about controller players. It's like, no matter which camp you're in, it's like the other one seems to have the advantage. And I think that in reality, they're both fairly balanced. They both have their ups and downs. Controllers basically trade a little bit of movement fidelity for easier aiming because it helps you more. And then on, you know, the flip side for mouse and keyboard, where you're basically you're getting a little bit faster ability to, you know, turn on a dime and maybe have slightly better movement in some cases, but you're losing some of the aim assist where, you know, you still get the bullet magnetism, they call it, but like you don't get the reticle stickiness where you actually do have to put, you know, the mouse on someone's head, which can be challenging. So it's just funny to me because I hear both sides of it quite often, and that's just kind of what I've like come to as a conclusion, that both sides think the other one's overpowered, which is kind of funny to me.
I've heard that before. I think some PvP players that play on mouse and keyboard only get a little salty if they find out someone's playing on controller. They almost think they're cheating or something.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, okay, so like I have a friend named Shadow who I've been playing a lot of trials with lately, and he's like, I believe he plays controller most of the time, and his aim is like, it's like so good. I mean, it's almost as consistent as some of the actual aim bots, but it's like he's incredibly good on controller. And so it's one of those things that it's I think a lot of like Destiny sweats, so to speak, like get kind of you know, frustrated about that. But it's like, in my opinion, it's like you're trading one for the other. It's just, you know, you can become a great player on either input device. It's just a matter of practicing and, you know, maximizing the strengths of whichever input device you choose to use.
Yeah, my theory is PC versus PS4 isn't so much the input device, but if you're playing on PC, you're more dedicated. I think there's a higher chance you're going to be a person who plays a lot, a more skilled player. And on a console, there's a greater chance you might be a more casual player. And you know, that those are just that's not true for everyone. But if you look at the whole population statistic wise, mm-hmm. I really think there's a better chance you'll find a higher skilled player on PC just because of they're probably playing a lot more, if that makes sense, on average than console players.
I can see that too. I would actually love to just see some statistics about that, like what the average, you know, kill death ratio and like, you know, different parameters behind the scenes, like combat rating and different like elos and different playlists and stuff like that. It'd be really interesting to see like a divide between the average PC player, average console player.
And I could be totally off too. That's just my theory. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
No, I'm
willing to be proven wrong, but
yeah, if I had to bet, I would actually agree with you. I'm just kind of curious. I always like to see data. Like, I don't know.
Oh, of course.
That would be probably challenging to.
That's the best way, right? You don't. Yeah, data is the best indicator. Mm-hmm. Right on. I mean, we're talking about PvP stuff, of course. And so I had a couple things on my mind. I was watching some of your videos, and you had the one came out about a good, you know, of course, the auto rifle that everyone's loving right now.
Oh, yeah. Not hunger.
Yep. You still using that? Or
yeah. You know, I think it's one of the best guns in the game right now. It's very, right? Very strong. I find it a little boring to use it all the time. Like I get tired of it, but I mean, it's really good. It's probably the most effective 6v6 gun in terms of just, you know, raw firepower. You can get a ridiculous amount of kills fairly easily with it. But I'm still, I don't know. My heart's still in hand cannon sniper world. I just love playing hand cannon sniper. So that's kind of where I gravitate to whenever I'm just playing for purely what I think is the most fun. And also if I'm playing competitively, I feel like usually that's kind of my strongest setup if I'm playing other top players.
Sure. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got to run that makes sense. Auto rifle for sixes, but then kind of hand cannon sniper for, I mean, depending on the map, but definitely sniper has to be a strong consideration for sure. For a lot.
Yeah, it's just the ability to one shot someone from anywhere on the map is pretty strong.
Yeah, that I'm nowhere near. We're talking about aim, right, Sin? Like, I don't know about you, Dez. You're probably way better sniper than me, but I need to practice that a lot.
That's the interesting thing. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was about to say, you might think that, but then you'd be wrong, so.
Well, have you seen me with a sniper? Maybe we're both not good. I don't know.
You just got to, the thing with sniper is you just got to take the shot, especially if you're using revoker and you get that one shot refunded. If you miss, it's not like you're losing anything. So
actually,
you just got to take it.
Yeah, that's about confirmed, because while I was working on revoker, because I used zone control, I noticed I was actually landing a lot more headshots than normal, but again, it was zone control, so I was able to use a sniper. Snipers are, I think, everything but rapid fire is like one hit kills to the body. So it made revoker much easier. And again, I was hitting a lot of shots that I was surprised at, but it was kind of taking the thought of lining up the shot out of my mind. Because as soon as I saw a body in the red, it was like, okay, there. So.
Yeah, and I've noticed that too, even just, I don't even like using snipers in the raids, but you know, I've learned there's certain places, like especially in Garden of Salvation, where you're doing the eyes or getting the Cyclopses down, you know, sniper is the way to go. And there's been plenty of times where I had to take the shot quicker. I didn't have the opportunity to line it up. And I'm like, oh wait, I actually was able to flick that and do okay. Maybe I am overthinking it too much and trying to line it up and get the reticle like all in place. But this brings up another topic, perfect segue, Patty Cakes. You have a video that, you know, it's on the front of your YouTube page, the number one thing that separates top FPS players from the rest. And you're talking about intentionality. And one thing I really liked in that video is talking about when you're moving around, having your reticle pre-aimed, having it in a spot where you can be ready to take those shots right away. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, that's a great thing to talk about. So this is one of the things where I feel like players who come from other games, specifically more tactical shooters like Counter-Strike, Valorant's popular now, Rainbow Six, any of those like games that are a little bit slower and more punishing, there's this thing that you develop basically called crosshair placement or pre-aiming, where you have to essentially know where a person's likely to be and then put your crosshair exactly, or you know, very close to head level, so that as soon as someone comes around the corner, all you have to really do is click instead of making some wild, you know, flick adjustment to hit the shot. And that's something that I don't think is trained very well in games like Destiny that are, you know, respawn based and have like a radar that tells you where people are going to be. It's just like a skill that's not really, it's important and it's helpful in the game, but it's not like something that is naturally trained as much. So I think that's one of the things I notice when I watch really good players who come from that more like competitive tactical shooter background, is they tend to have just impeccable pre-aim. It's really like kind of an interesting differentiating thing to look for.
Yeah, it's so true. It's something that when I was watching the video, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And I kind of know that deep down, but I certainly don't practice it all the time. And it's something I can improve on no matter what you're playing. I mean, even if you're just trying to line up something in PvE also, it's like, you definitely don't want to just be having your, sometimes people are just not paying attention, or they're new to the game, or they're just being lazy and the reticle's just down on the ground or up in the sky or something like that, you know, and that's no good when you need to hit something quick.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that like it, I think that the higher level that you play the game at, that it becomes more and more important, especially, I don't know if you guys have ever done any like private matches, like scrims and stuff like that, but that's where you really start to see things like that come into the game more, because it's just, it's so important to have a really like good fundamental sense of how to aim in that way, because you don't really have time to make adjustments. Usually if you're not already kind of looking in the right area, someone else is just going to come around a corner and destroy you very fast. So it's like the higher level of people you're playing against, the more punishing it becomes to not have those good fundamentals.
Yeah, for sure. Good tips all in all. I was having fun. And I like the style you have in your videos. You seem like a very easygoing guy. Fun to be around. You have fun taking people through trials. You know, I see you have like where people can group up and.
Yeah.
Have you gotten a lot of people through some wins or even some flawless runs?
Yeah. Been happy? So back in like season, like probably, I don't know, 4 to 6, somewhere in that range, I used to do like a lot of competitive help on stream. And I probably burnt myself out on it a little bit. Like I did it so much. And so I kind of decided, just from like a sort of branding perspective. I didn't really want to be like a service type streamer who just only did that type of stuff. Nothing against those guys. I think it's awesome if they're into it. I just didn't really want to like be that person because I tried it and it just was, it got really stale for me. So when trials came back around, I kind of got back into the swing of that while doing a whole bunch of trials help. And it was really fun for like a couple of weeks, but I burnt out on it pretty quickly again. So now what I do is just like every once in a while, I'll do trials help on my stream with maybe I'll get a friend who's really good and we'll try to just help people either get some wins or maybe get some flawlesses. But it's, I don't know, it's always fun to take someone who's never either never played trials or just, you know, played and not had much success at all and get them flawless or at least like a bunch of wins so they can turn in their tokens. It's a very rewarding thing to do.
For sure. Well, I get first dibs in our group. Yeah. Sorry, Sam.
I was going to say, I went second.
I'm down. Let's do it.
I'm second in there. I at least need 7 wins of trials if we're going to run trials for sure. I just need that title, the title chase. I'm about it.
That's awesome. Do you guys have a whole bunch of different titles?
Well, we should pull that up while I'm looking at it because I'm in game right now. nothing really PvP for sure. I mean,
yeah, I'm like the opposite. I think I maybe have, I don't know, 4 or 5. I don't have the game open right now, but it's probably somewhere around there. I know I have the Unbroken and Flawless.
Awesome. Yeah.
The whatever that the one from last year was, and maybe, you know, a couple other ones, but most of mine are PvP focused. Yeah. You guys probably have all the PvE ones I haven't gotten around to doing yet.
Yeah. No, that's awesome though that you, I mean, yeah, the I don't know about Santa Des, like some are, you know, seals are fun to go after some titles, but like it's a must thing in the game, but you see some that you can kind of that are attainable that aren't like pie in the sky, you know. And some people, again, I think it's incentive, like some people see that lofty goal, but for me, maybe I'm just considered a lazy personality, but I see a goal that's slightly lofty but I can do it with some time, and then those are the ones that appeal to me.
Yeah. So, yeah,
Dredgen wasn't too bad. I got Wayfarer, I got the Chronicler lately, and then, you know, all the seasonal ones. So, yeah. Sin, what are you working on these days? I know you're working on some titles.
Yeah, I'm definitely working on the new seasonal title in the Moments of Triumph. I really want to get those knocked out. I've been doing little bits here and there. Close to the eyes. I really only need to run the prophecy for the eyes now. So that'll be done hopefully soon. Next time I can run a dungeon, try to knock those out. I did end up finishing my Graviton Lance. We were talking in the show last week where I was at like 96%. So I did end up finishing that. I will be working on the Trinity Ghoul catalyst, because I do want to get that finished. And I think there's a couple other catalysts that I've had that have just been lingering that I haven't completed, like Vigilance Wing. So I'd like to get those knocked out at some point. But
Trinity Ghoul one is so fun. Oh my gosh. I love that thing. I used it actually when I was helping people do Leviathan a couple days ago. And it, like, particularly on the gauntlet, you know, where you're killing all the adds before you start doing the whole running phase of it. It is wild. You just shoot like one arrow at the, you know, whatever door that they're coming out of, and it just wipes everyone coming out. And then you reach, you know, automatically recharges, and then you shoot the next door, and it is like you can single-handedly clear the whole room pretty much. It's actually crazy.
Nice. Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting that finished here soon.
I know Knowles, he's a big proponent of that one too. It sounds a lot though like Telesto. Telesto can do that too if you know how to run it well. Just kind of spray a door or something.
Telesto the best too.
Oh man, I sorry, I'm a big Telesto fan in PvE. So. I've been using PvP some actually.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's pretty good actually. I put that fairly high on my tier list that I had just come up with recently. I was afraid to put that one low. I think people would crucify me over it. That is a very popular weapon.
Cool. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, those are kind of some of the things we're working on in the game. Anything, Patty Cakes, that you have not done on the PvE side that you have as a even pie in the sky goal for way down the road? Because I know you mostly PvP.
No, I've always wanted to get more into some of the various like solo challenges, like the solo flawless dungeons and stuff. I got totally scammed on my the first dungeon. I forget what's the name of the first dungeon.
Shattered Throne, maybe Shattered Throne. The first one.
Yeah, yep. That's the one I was thinking of. So I did it flawless solo until the final boss, and then I forget it. I think it was during like the revelry when you could apply those. Remember, you could like apply those things so you could dodge real fast, and so that certainly made it way easier. But then I got to the final boss, and on PC we had this bug where you couldn't apply things in your inventory. It was just taking, you know, it'd take like forever to apply stuff for some reason. And so I was sitting there on the final boss trying to like apply my buff or whatever so I could keep my dodges going real fast, and it just wouldn't work. And then the boss killed me, and I lost my I lost my flawless part there. And then I ended up finishing it like on the next the next attempt, and I'm all excited because I'm like, oh, at least I got the solo part of it. And I found out that since I had given someone the checkpoint earlier that week, it like somehow didn't give me credit for the solo either. So I was just like, all right,
man,
yeah. I'm done with this. So at some point, yeah, I'll get back in there and get it done, but I'm still a little salty from that one.
Yeah, those are some of the things too, where like I could have probably done a flawless last wish a million times over by now, but at the time where I was mostly interested, there were some errors with people getting, even on console, I don't know if there were beaver errors back then, but like when you go to do the Queen's Walk, like a lot of people were getting just kicked out or whatever. I'm like, I don't want to put all that work into it and then, you know, have that issue pop up. Hey, but at least the beaver errors are pretty much gone now, right?
Yeah, that's been I think,
did
a
you run
better
into those much?
Oh, I mean, constantly.
Okay, just, well, I heard they were more prevalent on the East Coast. I never really ran into them where I was, but
yeah, I'm I guess you'd call it central, and for me it hasn't been I guess it's been a little better lately. I don't know. I honestly have been so busy working on videos, I haven't had a whole lot of time to play in the last couple weeks, but it seems better in the short amount of time I've been able to play, so I hope that that's the case. It was happening really, really frequently for a while, so I'm glad that they're hopefully finding something to address that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, looking at all the technical points of it was kind of interesting. But okay, I want to talk about something really fun here, Dez and Sin. I put a link of one of Patty Cake's videos in the podcast guest channel. So tell us about playing Destiny 2, but your controller is a guitar.
Oh my gosh, this is so funny. This is, okay, so actually there's a channel I follow, Davey504, he makes, he plays a bass guitar, and he makes really funny videos. And so I saw him do Super Mario, and I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta figure out how to do this for Destiny, because this would be hilarious. So, I don't know if you guys do music at all or have a background of that, but there's like this basically like a data type called MIDI, which you can, a lot of like keyboards will have like a MIDI output you can set up. Or what I did is I hooked my guitar into my computer through this thing that basically records the audio sound of the guitar. And then a different program converted the guitar sounds into MIDI information. And then a different program that converted the MIDI information into keyboard strokes. So like if I pressed like, I don't know, if I played an F sharp or something, it would turn it into like the W key on the keyboard. So anyway, so I basically mapped all of the normal keybinds you would have in Destiny to guitar, you know, fret locations, and then ran around playing Destiny with some friends. It was really, really funny and very difficult.
Nice.
It's wild. Yeah.
I just pulled that up and started looking at it. That is crazy.
It was so funny. It's if anyone thinks it's an advantage, I challenge you to give it a shot. It's very
it looked tough. Like it would take forever too.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It
3 hours later.
Yeah, we did a couple strikes and a couple PvP games. So it was funny. It was a good times.
For sure.
We've had a bunch of people request that we start up a Destiny band. We get Glad on the Rock Band drums. I can play guitar. We need to get a couple other people. We'll all play Destiny with our instruments in game. It'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, I did see that Glad drum video, or watched him do it on the drums.
Yeah, it's a classic.
For sure. Excellent. Well, I mean, that's mostly the questions I had for you. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the game right now. I don't know if Sin or Des had any other questions for you, but that was pretty cool. Now, you stream, is it kind of a schedule still? I mean, I'm looking at your
page. Yeah, I tend to stream Monday, Wednesday, Friday evenings right now. Usually somewhere around 6 p.m. Central Time is when I start, a little bit before that. It's hard because one of the coolest things about, you know, being in the whole content creator world is that you get to interact with so many people from so many different countries, which I really, really enjoy. The downside is that everyone has different time zones. And so everyone would like me to stream, you know, when they're awake. And unfortunately, it's like I can't really stream 24 hours a day. So, I don't know how people do that. They're crazy. I can do about 5 or 6 hours and I'm tired. So, but anyway, I try to pick.
He just puts little gerbils on the screen and walks away.
I'm amazed by people who can do 24 hour streams. I think the longest I've ever done was about 12 hours back when I was doing a lot of competitive help, and that wore me out for a good week. I don't have the stamina of these 24 hour champions.
Couple hours in, I'm good. So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
I assume you've hopped in at least the new Prophecy Dungeon. What do you think about that one?
Oh yeah, I love it. I did it I think day one or day two. I forget I think we started at day one, but it's kind of late, so we ended up beating it day two. It's really awesome. I think it's my favorite of the three. It's just beautiful. I thought the mechanics were all really cool. The end boss was like really challenging and fun. I like how they just dropped out of nowhere. I always get a kick out of that. Like, I understand it's kind of fun to like know what's coming so you can anticipate it, but I personally really like when there's just, I don't know, it's like you don't know what's coming, and so something comes out of the blue and it just surprises you. Like the Whisper mission, that was one of my favorite things that they did. Mm-hmm. And it just came out of nowhere. So I like the mystery behind the game. That's kind of one of my favorite parts of it.
For sure. And especially for this season, because we didn't know how everything would be, but having this just kind of pop in without us knowing until shortly before. And I've loved also even collecting the orbs or the eyes, whatever you call them, in the different elements. It's little things like that, like these collectibles that gives you, even some people consider it busy work, but I love things where they have you go somewhere that you may not explore that much, right? Because you can do strikes a million times, raids a million times, but if they put a collectible somewhere that's like I actually could jump in this part of the map and it's not out of bounds, and there's a little cave or a canyon back there, it's like, I guess I didn't explore the moon as well as I thought I did, or, you know, some other planet. Mm-hmm. So I love stuff like that too.
Me too.
And it's about learning the area. And of course you know that as a PvP player, you need to know the map. And I admit that to myself, like probably the first thing I need to do is, since I don't play enough, is just really get in there. I should just go into some privates or whatever, but I just need to learn the maps better. Cause if I just even had a 20% better idea of just where everything was, even in a vague idea in my head, okay, this is a high part, even though I don't know exactly what the landscape looks like, this is a low part. And then, right, that'll help out a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that could help most people, is to really understand the maps and just kind of all the little angles to worry about. In fact, that's one of the cool things when I watch a lot of good players who stream like pickup games and stuff like that on stream, is that they have all these cheeky little angles that like you might not otherwise, you know, pay attention to. But when the game's a little slowed down and it's just 3v3, it's kind of fun to see all the clever spots that people come up with. So it's a very helpful thing, I think, to just kind of really get to know the maps well.
Yeah. What do you think about that in the video that came out? It looks like there's a stasis grenade where you can freeze guardians.
I'm hesitant, but I'm excited, but hesitant. I don't know.
Why hesitant? You don't want to get frozen in PvP?
Sunlocks in PvP are something that usually really frustrates me. I have faith in Bungie that they can do it in some way that is hopefully, you know, fun. I am a little worried though.
If it's often, right? I mean, it's one thing tether as a super, but if we're getting grenades every 30 seconds that are freezing people, I mean,
yeah, So, well, we will see. I trust Bungie. I think they can hopefully do it in some way that's not too terribly annoying, but I'm a little worried about that part. We'll see.
Well, let's talk about, we can all talk about this, but maybe some things we're looking forward to coming up. Like, it can be your hopes about it, like quality of life changes, or even just, I hope they add more strikes or more PvP maps or whatever. But like, you know, we know very little of what we're getting in the fall other than just kind of the theme. But what would you like in the game right now to make it more enjoyable to you? Or coming in the fall, you know what I mean? Because something can't come tomorrow. But
yeah, what would you like? Well, so I guess the first thing that comes to mind is probably unrealistic, but I will say it anyway, just because maybe someday if I ask for enough times, it'll come true. I would really like. Well, yeah, that could be. My number one wish list would be that PvP would move to a dedicated server model where we would have significantly better, server infrastructure, where it would be dedicated servers, higher tick rate, so that the bolts would register more consistently, and just be overall more reliable. That's one of the more frustrating things for like a kind of more serious PvP player, is just when you feel like you shoot the guy, you know, three times with the hand cannon and you saw it hit three times, but just doesn't register. And there's like, okay, well, now what do I do? And, you know, 2 seconds later, it finally registers as the kill, but he also was able to kill you in that time because it didn't register on him yet. So that part just drives me nuts. And I hope that at some point they can move to like a more proper server model, like kind of most of the, you know, like Valorant and CSGO and a bunch of these other games have. So that'd be my number one thing. Like I said, it's probably unrealistic for this fall, but at some point I'd like it to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's what, a 20% chance? I mean, they could surprise us.
I think 20 is generous, but I'll get... Yeah, that's funny. I mean, I think more realistically, I'm just looking forward to having some cool new PvE stuff to do. I'm not like a huge complainer about the PvP sandbox. I actually have fun with it now. I'm super happy with the changes they made for CBMM, connection-based matchmaking, just purely for the reason that I can actually play games now. Like, it was before, I'd sit in queue waiting to get a game for sometimes 15, 20 minutes before it would actually give me a game. And then you get in and they would give you a beaver error. And it just like, you know, there's many days I just gave up. I just couldn't even play. So now it's like, you know, it's not perfect, but I get in there and I can actually play the game that I enjoy playing. So I'm happy about the state of that now. And there's a few like, you know, meta things like Mountaintop or whatever that are a little annoying to me, but overall I'm pretty happy with the state of things.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Sin and Dez, what ideas do you have? Anything you're excited that you hope that can be coming up, even though they haven't told us yet?
Dez, when you want to take this one?
Sin doesn't have a clue. No.
I was about to say that makes two of us at this point, Tom, because I don't know.
So you're really perfectly happy with the game?
No. Oh, of course not, but there's nothing really glaring. And I think the only thing that kind of comes to mind right now is maybe, of course, like some of the grindiness of that certain things can definitely be, could be toned down like a notch.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's something they've already talked about, like looking into at the very least, is what do they call it? Investment, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
does the season pass appeal to you, or do you feel like it's too grindy? I like asking people that.
This season pass, I don't mind too much. Like, it could be a smidge faster, perhaps, but that's just preference. I've seen like a lot of the quote unquote battle pass models, and some of them, actually a lot of them that I played early, weren't all that fun because the levels were progressive.
So yeah, it'd
be like really fast at first perhaps, but as the gaps in experience get wider, it's becomes like longer stretches and more of a slog just to try to get to the end. But the fact that Bungie at least has equivalent milestones, like per level. It's always, I think, 100,000 experience to get a level, and it never goes up. So,
yeah, no, good point. Good point.
Yeah, that is nice. I do love that part. And I know what you're talking about, Des, with the games that do that. They get you hooked by passing you through the beginning levels, and then when it really starts getting into the higher levels, they make you sweat. They make you grind your face off in order to get those upper levels, because the experience basically drops off. You don't get the same amount of experience, or you are required to get much, much more.
Yeah, which is the experience model that the artifacts use, but I really don't mind it there, because again, by the time the artifact becomes a chore, you're well done with all the unlocks on it. So by then it's just kind of preference and bragging rights almost.
Yeah. Things have changed a lot. I know what you mean, Sin. Like in Borderlands, we were playing that, like those highest unlocks, you know, it seems like they would almost quadruple each time. But like even in Destiny 2, a couple seasons ago, remember like the Strike and Gambit and probably even the Crucible one. I don't remember all the details, but they were like the first goal was like, get 100,000 score, and then the next goal was get like 1,000,000 score. You know, I'm being facetious there. The next goal is like get 2,000,000,000 score. You know what I mean? Like, it went up each time. It's like, wait, there's another step, and we have to go that much longer now.
So yeah, those were frustrating. Right on that.
Yeah. yeah, those are valid points. There's always, I don't need to go into details on mine. I've said plenty of times in previous podcasts. I just heard some things recently, though, like what the guys over at Guardian Down brought up, some cool things with, you know, these are small quality of life things, but I never thought about this till recently, but it'd be nice to have shaders apply to, if you wanted the same shader in all your armor, you could just push a button instead of how D1 was?
Individually applying.
I mean, you want to have both options, right? Yeah, go ahead, Patty. I feel
like you got to do something with the shader. Like, how is it 2020 going into 2021 soon? And we're still on the same shader system. I mean, it's better now than it was at first. But it's like, every time you do any activity, it's like your shaders end up in the Postmaster, and they keep giving you all these crappy green and blue ones that most people don't use. And it's like you go to delete them. You have to either go one at a time or go to the Crypt Art to delete in stacks. And it's just like, I feel like it's one of the most overlooked, like, just, you know, eyesores in the game right now. I don't understand how.
Because we have our whole section, our inventory, but you can only fit so many there. And then, yes, you can pull from collections, but that's a whole pain. Like, just have it all maybe in a collection thing that's quicker and easy to get into and just apply from there.
Absolutely. I'm sure like probably it's limited by like the way the game's coded, so that, you know, you can't have, you know, so many things all loading at the same time or whatever, but like, man, it is just, it's really not smooth right now at all. I wish that they could do something to make it
we need a new engine. Gator, right? Gator, our friend from another podcast. Boy. Well, I mean, we don't have to go into too many things, but I think it's we're getting closer to speculating more, even though the game got pushed back. They said they're going to start telling us stuff. And I don't know if any of you noticed, but this week was a pretty quiet twab. So there's not really too much worth talking about in it other than we're getting Iron Banner next week. But they said in a Reddit post, I think it was DMG that said, well, we're trying to get some things together. We don't know if we can get into this week's TWAB, so this may be a light TWAB, but we're going to have a lot of information for you soon. And so the implication is even next week, we're going to start getting the ball rolling on a lot of information for the upcoming season.
Which would be nice. I'm excited
for that.
Yeah, be awesome.
A lot of people are asking, right, about what is safe to maybe delete, like exactly more details on how transmog is going to work with armor.
Oh, that would be awesome. That's when my stream keeps making fun of me, because I'm like such a hoarder right now. I'm at like 500 out of 500 and like 9 things in every slot on every character. It's a really big problem. And so everything goes to my postmaster, and then I start losing things, but I'm just afraid to delete things, because like I'm so unsure of what's going to be, you know, useful going forward. So I would love any information that would help me make that decision easier.
Yeah. My guess is we might hear about some of that this next 12. They seem to be hinting. It may not be transmog, but we're going to find out about something about next season, something interesting starting as early as next week. And so we have a week of Iron Banner, and then we're also starting the week after that, the Solstice, you know, Heroes Solstice event. So we'll see how that is, or if it's just a crazy talk about grind, Dez and Sin. I mean, I don't know if I'm super excited for this event, but we'll see what it is again this year.
I don't know.
Did you guys go for the armor much less? I think you did, right, Sin? Or
I was personally offline at that point in time.
No, no worries. But, you know, we all kind of like grinded for it. And wasn't it supposed to be like a preview of Armor 2.0? But then it really never ended up being that useful. So it was like we spent all this time on it. But oh well. Well, yeah, good discussion on that. How do you feel about Iron Banner? I mean, since it's been connection based, you had fun in that, Patty Cakes?
Oh man, so I had more fun in the most recent Iron Banner than I have in any Iron Banner in the history of Destiny, maybe even including the very first one that came out in Destiny 1. I really had a good time. I was the type of player until they introduced the CBMM where I would play like a few matches just to basically, you know, get the loot that I really needed, and then I was out of there. It was just with the skill-based system they had set up, the games were so incredibly laggy. It was just unbearable. And then, you know, if I didn't go in with a six stack, you just get stomped every game. And now with whatever they changed now, it's like the last time I was going in there so completely solo, having a great time. You know, it's like just overall it was a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to round two.
Right on. Yeah, I actually was looking forward to testing it out for science on my side, and I didn't get as much as I wanted to. But I think this week I always say this, but I think I really will, because there's not much else going on. I've done tons of raiding lately. I'm even starting to get a little burnt out. Anyone who knows me, that's weird to hear. But I think I can handle a week of Iron Banner, and then we'll have plenty to do after that. Have you gotten your five? Old school raids done for your you know, the five that are going away?
I'm doing them in order, and I'm kind of turning it into like a stream thing, I think, just for something to fun to do with the people in the community. So we did Leviathan first. I think, as you mentioned earlier, trying to get a couple of my PvP buddies who are raid virgins to come, maybe do like Eater and Spire with me, because that'd be fun. Spire and Crown are the two I've spent the least time with, so I'm actually not super super comfortable in either of those. So sure. I'd actually like to kind of learn a little bit more because I haven't spent as much time as some of the other ones.
No, that makes sense. Those are probably, I think, even if you look at the stats and from all the people I raid with, and it wasn't until recently that we ever really cared to hop back into Spire. So many people just didn't play that one, and now I'm actually getting a few more clears underneath my belt. It's not as bad as I claimed it was
originally thought.
It's not my least favorite raid anymore.
I think it's a pretty good raid. I think the end is pretty mechanically complicated for a lot of groups, and it's stressful because there's a lot of points of failure where like something can go wrong and it's not very easy to recover. And so it's not a very friendly one for, you know, a lot of people who have never done it before. I think it's pretty challenging. So I do think it's cool though.
Crown is very challenging for people.
Same with Crown. I know Crown a little bit better, but both of them are, out of all the raids, I feel like the least qualified to Sherpa people through either of those, because I feel like I barely know what I'm doing in there.
No, I get it. Cool. Well, that's most of the things on my list for this week.
On the docket.
Yep. Anything else on your mind, Patty Case, you want to talk about the state of the game or things you're looking forward to?
Oh man. I have an idea. So there's this, I'm just going to tell as many people about this idea until it becomes a thing.
Me and Wrath of the Machine coming back.
Yeah. Okay. So I have this idea for an exotic that I think would be super, super fun. So, are you guys familiar with like lever action rifles, like the MK2 in Call of Duty is the new one, I think. Anyway, the whole, those rifles that, you know, you cock the firing mechanism with your one hand. It's kind of old school looking. So I think that would be super, super fun in Destiny. And the way I envision it is one of those Tex Mechanica guns. So the same people who make, like, you know, the Chaperone, the Last Word, Huckleberry, that kind of like, you know, cowboy style that it's like so nice looking. I like them to be the one who creates it. And I'm thinking is that every time you get a headshot kill with it, it would basically do the little lever action, you know, animation faster and faster. So it would up the rate of fire. And it'd be kind of like a scout rifle that would maybe be a two tap in PvP, but like a pretty like slow shooting thing. So somewhere kind of like in between a sniper and a scout, maybe. But anyway, I've had this idea for a gun for forever, and I want Bungie to make it because I would use it every day.
Yeah, for sure. I imagine what you're saying. That sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. So
yeah,
we'll see. Maybe someday I'll get my wish.
Well, I mean, speaking of a new type, there's also a chance. Hopefully, we'd get something new, a new type of. I mean, we're getting a new subclass. I know we got the bows in Forsaken.
New alien race.
Yeah, but hopefully a new weapon type also, you know, come this fall.
Yeah. So this is actually a good question for you guys. So this, I was on James Works' show last night. He does like a Guardian Roundup type show. And one of the topics that people asked about was if there was a new type of weapon, something like a spear or an axe or something like that, what would you want to see? So I'm curious to hear from you guys. What would you like to see, like totally new archetype entirely in the game?
So like a spear or an axe?
Or anything,
yeah, heck, be it, whatever you want.
I don't know, but as soon as you said axe, I totally thought about Diablo 3, like a whirlwind build using cool. axes.
That would be pretty cool, whirlwind barb. I like it.
Yeah.
That is a tough question, though.
My mind went to like I don't know why, but flamethrower.
That'd be cool.
I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like the idea of a trace rifle or something, but more dramatic and mm-hmm. you know, a leaf fire on the ground or burning enemies that'll run around and burn other enemies. So,
yeah, that's cool. Someone had recommend or suggested a javelin, like a spear. I think that'd be pretty cool. It'd be kind of like a hybrid melee slash ranged weapon or something. It'd be kind of neat.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what other games I've played that. Have something dramatically different. I mean, because Destiny does a pretty good job of with the basics. So it's not like we're missing some glaring thing, I don't think.
Yeah, I feel like for the most, you probably have to go pretty, you know, far out to find some kind of sci-fi type weapon. I think they've covered the majority of the standard weapons that are in most games.
Well, hilariously, I've not played Destiny very much recently. I've been kind of back in my RPG funk. Also thanks in part to the PS4 summer sale, because there are a lot of like really good deals on there. So I ended up downloading and I think this would be fun for Destiny, but I ended up downloading Final Fantasy Type Zero and played through it. Which is an incredible undertaking for a game, because it's an RPG that has 12 main characters from the get-go. With more of an action setting. But anywho, one of the characters uses the ever popular in fantasy-esque settings, the Whipblade. And I think that would be very cool to implement a weapon capable, well, also for anyone that's played Mortal Kombat, that's Scorpion Spear. You have like a mid-range to harpoon someone and either drag them towards you or you launch towards them. I think that would be very fun.
That does sound cool.
Gosh, that would be fun. Imagine, like, I'm just thinking of the PvE side, but grabbing some captain and pulling him towards you, and then it's already done damage to him. You can finish him off with a melee or something.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. That sounds awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Some, hopefully something, or maybe some more, like, although this doesn't work for Destiny, never mind. But I was thinking, like, in Diablo, where we have different classes have different weapons just for them, like, oh, can the warlocks get more like maces or magical staffs to, you know, do, but I guess that would be more like subclass powers or something.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I'm a big fan of the Elder Scrolls Online, that MMO game. Mm-hmm. They have like the Destro staves in that game that are pretty cool. Be interesting if they had something like that. Might be a little far out there for Destiny, but
yeah.
A little, but that's okay. It's allowed to take risks.
I'm so excited to hear what's coming in the fall, because I have a feeling there's going to be a lot more than we expect of just changes, quality of life stuff. And, you know,
I do too. They seem to, like, when I think back to a lot of the other Destiny expansions, like Taken King, for example, you know, it's like the content was amazing. But the other thing that was so cool is like the quality of life UI changes, and the game felt like a new game. And I'm hoping that this fall they kind of do the same thing where they just kind of overhaul some of the UI things that are a little funky, like the shaders, what we were talking about earlier, but just little, I like the little things like that, that feel a little bit just kind of lost right now.
Yeah. After all, this would have maybe been a Destiny 3 if there ever was going to be one. So, you know, hopefully some big things coming.
Yeah, totally.
Vault of Glass coming back. Excited enough for that.
Yeah, me too. I'm playing that.
And of course, some great, I forget all the details, but I definitely know some great trials changes coming too in the fall. With some things that were announced. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. We always like to have a fun question we ask at the end if we are at the end. But Sin?
His favorite dessert.
Yes.
Oh, that's
I was going to say his favorite dessert appears to be pancakes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like on brand, I have to say pancakes. Man, I mean, it's hard for me to beat like a really good ice cream. I think that's like the first thing that comes to mind. There's, so I went to Las Vegas like maybe 5 years ago with some friends, and we went to this dessert place that had this, like, I don't even know. It was like an ice cream sundae type thing, but had like every type of amazing dessert thing all combined into one monstrosity. And it was probably like 5,000 calories of ice cream and chocolate. It was unbelievable. But I don't know what you call that, but whatever it was, that was my favorite dessert I've ever had.
The ice cream monstrosity.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Okay, well, what flavors of ice cream do you like better than others?
Ooh, that's a good question. My favorite, I like the chocolate chip cookie dough. That's one of my favorites. I know it's kind of a
nice,
sometimes contested one. I've seen the hatred for the mint chocolate chip on Twitter lately. That one's like, I like it, but it's not like, I wouldn't say it's my favorite. It's kind of, it's good. I also like the half-baked one from
Ben and Jerry's.
Oh my gosh. That's like, it's like combining the chocolate chip cookie dough type of thing with brownies and fudge, and oh my god. I've got a diabetes just thinking about it. It's probably not good for you, but it's very good.
Yeah. I basically had a ice cream treat today. I went to a new coffee shop in town, a local place, and one of their barista secret menu things they suggested was, it was called the Broteen. What it was, but I don't even know why they're calling it that. Yes, there was some protein powder in it, but okay, it was a blended, you know, so slushy style, you know, had a shot of espresso, but then it was just basically Sugar City. It was banana, dark chocolate, and protein powder and espresso a drink. And it was actually really good, though.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big, I like coffee flavor, so I'm into any sort of like espresso, like coffee flavor. I'm into it.
I mean, yeah, we could go into food. We can go into so many things, but we at least like to know what favorite dessert is. We've kind of been asking that question of people. And if we ever have you on a second time in the future, we might actually move on to a different question.
Oh, yeah. I look forward to it.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, as we get closer, wrapping up here, we do want to ask you kind of like, you know, you talked about it a little bit, but we'll have notes in our podcast too, but just all the information of ways that people can follow you, watch your stuff, know about you, and, you know, things you're planning on working on. But yeah, just give us all the details. I mean, it's pretty obvious, Patty Cakes Gaming, but let us know about you.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm kind of like one of those people that has like my social media stuff split all over the place while I'm working to get Patty Cakes on every platform one by one. For now, probably the most important ones are on YouTube. It's Patty Cakes Gaming. That's the kind of like, I would say like the hub that I'm probably known the most for lately. My Twitch is Patty Cakes PC. As I mentioned earlier, I stream typically about 3 days a week. I like to do a lot of help with, you know, playing PvP with people for fun. We do a lot of community stuff. I try to do trials sometimes on the weekends to help people out who haven't, you know, maybe gotten their flawless done or have never even gotten three wins for some people. So I love to help people like that. I also do Twitter and Instagram. I'm PattyCakesGG over there. I've been trying to do Instagram more often. That's one that has been a little bit neglected, but I'm getting more active on it. So I'm trying to get involved with that little community. So, and I also have a really cool Discord. If you go to pretty much any of those, and probably the easiest one is if you go to my Twitch, I have it linked to there, but we have an awesome Discord community with a lot of great people on all different platforms. And it's just a really fun place to chat with the different Destiny players and, you know, help each other out. We've got a specific channel in there for people trying to learn mouse and keyboard with different like aiming drills and stuff. I've made a couple of videos about it. So that's always a good one if you're trying to pick up the mouse and keyboard. Otherwise, there's tons of controller players of all different platforms. So it's a fun place to hang out.
Excellent. Thanks for letting us know about that.
Yeah.
I joined the Discord right this second.
Cool. Yeah. It's a great place. I feel just very blessed to have all these different platforms and, you know, people follow me, which I really appreciate. And that's one of the ones I think I'm actually the most proud of, because it really is like an awesome community. It's very fun to chat with everyone there.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I'm so happy Nolzy let us know about having you on. I'm so happy that you agreed to come on. It was such a pleasure talking to you. Very easy to talk to you, and great tips that I'll take to heart. Maybe Sin will just still pleb it up on PC, but I'll try to be a better player myself.
Sources say yes on this one.
Thanks for that information. We will start with, we'll go Sin and then Dez and me. Sin, where can people find you?
You can find me on twitch.tv/SinMedia. Sin is C-Y-N, and over on Twitter at Sin_Media. Des Raven, bring that maple syrup and take it out.
Well, you can find me as per usual on Twitter at DES_Raven. And that's, you know, that's about it for me. So, yeah, Kingsley.
Excellent. You can find me as Kingsley Mac on most places, on Steam, PlayStation, on Twitch, where I stream occasionally, mostly just if I'm raiding for friends. And on Twitter, though, I am MC Kingsley. Yeah, I couldn't get Kingsley Mac yet on Twitter myself, Patty Cakes. Hopefully that'll change sometime.
Struggle, man.
Right? At least I have it in most places, but not Twitter. Some guy that hasn't even posted anything like once. Tried messaging him and no response. But
it's like the story of all my different tags. Right? It's like someone hasn't used it in 6 years, but I can't have it. So that's all right. Yeah. Part of the
internet. Dangling the carrot in front of your face. Yeah. You cannot have me.
I had some carrot cake today, speaking of carrots and desserts. But anyways, at least our podcast and show has a good website. It is theguardianhub.com, and you can find us on Twitter as The Guardian Hub, all the places, The Guardian Hub.
The best hub on the net.
Thank you very much.
Plus, you just made a new website link to the 100.io.
Yes, thanks for reminding me on that. So, you know, we have our website at theguardianhub.com, and we are pushing more our LFG raid finding group, where you can write postings in our Discord, but also you can go to the website that I redirected. You can go to lfg.destinypodcasts, that's plural with an s.com, and it'll take you into our 100.io supergroup that we have combined with Guardian Down and Two Titans and 100 podcast. Find great people to raid with. Just put a posting in there or find one of the groups that needs a person or two and you can join up. And by the way, be sure to also check out www.destinypodcasts.com. I keep a current list of all known Destiny podcasts. Well, with that, thank you again very much, Patty Cakes. I know everyone will have a lot of enjoyment listening to this episode. So again, we really appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys having me on. It's really fun to chat with you guys. Hope we can do a part two sometime.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone follow him and check out his stuff. So, well, thank you everyone for tuning in this week. And we'll see you again next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Vader.